Turning to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. In the name of Christ Jesus, dear Christian friends, the text that I've chosen for this, the Sunday of the Holy Epiphany, is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, where John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Dear friends of Jesus, as you just heard from Heidi, this Sunday in the church year is called Epiphany, which of course reminds us, as you heard, that we Christians see Jesus being made manifest to the Gentiles, in particular the Magi, the wise men of old that you just heard about in our gospel lesson. Now that word manifest, to be made manifest, basically means to be made quite apparent, to be revealed to somebody, to clearly be shown to others, that aha moment that you heard about. The Messiah was made manifest, of course, through centuries of prophecies that were talking about him. And then after that, the miraculous virgin birth. And then by the angel's announcement to the shepherds in the field. And then by that star. And then to the Gentile Magi, the wise men. And then as Jesus began his earthly ministry, we see him being made manifest at the waters of his baptism, during his many miracles, and certainly at his resurrection from the dead. And ultimately, centuries later, Jesus has now been made manifest to you and likewise to me through the Holy Spirit by the water and the Word, which brings us right to our present day. And so this morning, this Sunday of the Epiphany, we need to consider that the second person of the Holy Trinity, the one who is identified in our text as the Word, we need to consider how that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, making himself manifest, which, when seriously considered, will actually blow your mind when you think about it. That God himself would allow himself to become a helpless and a weak and a defenseless little baby in a manger. It's difficult to be vulnerable to anybody, isn't it? You got to really love somebody You got to really trust someone to allow yourself to become vulnerable to them, whether it's physically or emotionally. In dealing with other people, to let down your guard, if you will, to lower your mask that you hide behind, and to expose yourself to the possibility of getting hurt by somebody that you love, to trust somebody with your secrets, your dark past, and to let them know who you really are as a human being down deep. That's really becoming vulnerable to another human being. To allow yourself to become that vulnerable to somebody else is a risky and difficult business, really. Becoming vulnerable requires loving somebody so deeply that you are willing to take the risk and entrust your very soul and who you are into their hands. To share with them who you are and what you think, to let another person in on your life, that's a demonstration of great trust. If and when that happens, you're going to have a true bond of unconditional love with that person, which is why just simply a mere acquaintance in your life can't really wound your heart as much as somebody that you truly love can. When you allow yourself to become vulnerable, you, by virtue of that action that you take, put yourself in a position and open yourself up to be profoundly hurt. And if you're taken advantage of by someone, if you are betrayed by someone you trust, when you are hurt, it becomes that much more difficult to ever be trusting and vulnerable again. And so then people put up their defensive walls and rarely let anyone behind them again. Years ago, when I worked for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's headquarters in St. Louis, I was involved in what's called a ropes course, also called a challenge course, if you've heard of it. In the very beginning of that challenge course, I had to do what they call a trust fall. You're probably familiar with it. I had to stand on a rather high ladder and allow myself to fall backwards into the waiting arms of my colleagues. Talk about experiencing real vulnerability and the need for trust, because quite frankly, down deep, I wasn't sure I could trust them with my personal safety and well-being, especially since I was their boss. Tried not to think about it too deeply as I fell backwards and was, thankfully, caught safely. C.S. Lewis, who's one of my favorite Christian authors, put it this way. He wrote, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it up carefully with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe and dark and motionless and airless, your heart will change. It will not be broken. It'll become unbreakable, because it'll be impenetrable and irredeemable." St. John wrote in our text, "The Word became flesh." Four simple words: the Word became flesh. We see that clearly in the newborn baby Jesus lying in a manger. Have you stopped to really consider what was in that manger? Have you ever considered what the Word becoming flesh really means, in terms of God Himself becoming vulnerable to this earth? The infinite Alpha and Omega, the one who was never created and who will always be, born as a finite, three-dimensional infant. The one who hurled the stars through the universe and who spun the planets into orbit, born a naked human baby, experiencing hunger and crying for his mother's milk. The designer of our entire cosmos, able to create entire galaxies from deep space voids and capable of all things in the universe, born as a tiny baby that wet his diapers and whimpered with a rash. A God who permeates the universe, larger than you can ever imagine in your wildest dreams, and yet to become smaller than the smallest atomic particle, became locked in our planet's time and space continuum, lying on prickly hay in a barn in the primitive first century. The supreme being who has all of the knowledge, all of the glory, all of the power, all of the majesty beyond our limited human comprehension must now be cared for by a peasant couple, fully dependent on creatures far below him and having to learn how to crawl and to walk and how to form words, mommy and daddy. The creator of all life, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, impossible to be contained and totally superior to anything and anyone and anywhere, becomes a helpless and a poor and a powerless baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a cattle trough. The Lord of heaven and earth, holy and righteous, willingly enters our world that's full of diseases and suffering and hate and murder and warfare and animosity and death. And yet, despite all of that, he came. He came. Jesus, the Word made flesh, became vulnerable, giving up his power and his dominion to take on earthly human flesh and blood so that he might live among us and experience what we experience. That's what the word incarnation is all about. It's about loving us so much that God himself would become one of us, that he would identify himself with the human race in order to redeem it. That's what we celebrated on Christmas. That's what we continue to celebrate on Epiphany and throughout this holy season. That's what we saw in the manger on Christmas Eve. In Bethlehem, vulnerability was seen in the wood of a manger, which you might call the first king-sized bed. And years later, at Calvary, God's ultimate vulnerability was posted to the wood of a Roman cross. Upon that cross, where once again Jesus was naked, just as he had come into the world, where once again Jesus would feel thirst as a baby would, where once again Jesus would cry out, where once again Jesus would be comforted by his mother, where once again the Word made flesh was made vulnerable to the creation, to you and to me, for the forgiveness of our sins. And so he willingly laid himself down on those wooden beams and felt the Roman spikes tear through his, yes, his human flesh, spiking him to the wood, lifted up in ultimate divine vulnerability. That's what we call Christ made manifest. You see, my friends, Christmas was but a prelude to Good Friday. The manger was but a precursor to a cross, both of wood, both manifesting God in the flesh for the forgiveness of all human sin, yours and mine, that we might live forever to all who would but repent of their sins and believe the gospel. You see, love is vulnerable. Love opens its arms to hold somebody who's broken and who's hurting in life. Love opens its eyes and its ears to the pain of others and the cry of other people who are hungry. Love is broken. It's poured out. Love risks being judged and condemned. Love takes the chance of being vulnerable to someone else. For you see, God is love. And Jesus is God's love made manifest in human flesh for all to see and to hear and to touch. Today, this morning, you and I have the opportunity to likewise become vulnerable to God in heaven. The opportunity to come before Christ's holy manger with an open heart and with your own life laid bare before him. And with a new openness for God to change you and your life. You see, God loved you so deeply, he was willing to empty himself, to be locked in our human flesh, and to suffer and to die and to rise again, even if you were the only person on the planet. God took the risk for you. He laid himself bare and entrusted his holy life and his innocent blood and his death and his physical resurrection for the likes of wretched sinners like you and certainly like me. And so we, his body, the Holy Church, must be vulnerable first to the Lord and then to each other. We must empty ourselves of our pride and our arrogance and to stand humbly once again before the manger and behold the Christ child, as did those wise men of yore, where we can so clearly see just how far God, our Father in heaven, would go to bring us back into relationship with him, even if it meant giving everything up in heaven and on earth to redeem us from Satan, who laid claim on our lives. It's scary to become truly vulnerable like that to God. It's risky sometimes to really trust him, to say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me. Use my life for your holy purposes." But when you stop to consider it, what better gift to leave at the manger than who we really are and all that we have? May we all look into that manger once again in this holy season with a much clearer understanding of what the Word becoming flesh really means for us all. And then may we likewise demonstrate that immense love of God to all people whom we meet by our own willingness to be vulnerable to others, to sacrifice the gift of our own life in order to love and to serve and to befriend another person, just as Jesus did for us and continues to do. And most of all, to take aside a friend or maybe a loved one and to be vulnerable enough with them and to risk enough for them and to love enough to share that amazing and that awesome story of how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. For we have seen his glory. Now may his glory likewise be seen in us. Amen. Please stand.